This is my final session with you all. We've been here since Monday. We did Monday night. We did two services Tuesday, two services Wednesday, two services Thursday, two services yesterday, and the second service for the day today. And it has been an absolute pleasure being here with you all. I had a good time talking to you one-on-one, and it's evident, it is definitely evident that you all want a closer, a genuine, a real walk with God. And so I pray that, hey, the girls from Miracle Meadows are back. What's up? Yeah, I thought I saw y'all earlier. Praise the Lord. It's evident that you all want a real relationship with God and you're trying to figure out how. And so I'm excited about tonight's topic, but at the same time, my heart is a bit heavy because I believe, I really wish I could present this topic to like everybody here. But we just have to just pray that the Holy Spirit would do what he does. But I still think it's a very relevant topic for you all, my young people here tonight. So with that being said, let's ask for assistance of the Holy Spirit. Father in heaven, God, I surrender my life to you. As I slept, as I rested, God, when I awoke, this message, Lord, was loud and clear. You told me, God, that we discussed everything except for this specific thing, and that this is the number one thing, God, that our church today is missing. Forgive me for my sins. I pray that nothing in my life, Lord, will stop this message from getting to your children. Open up their ears. Open up their minds. Bring healing to them, Lord. And I pray that after tonight's message, they will have a better understanding of their purpose in life. And I pray that they will have a better view of you. Speak to me and through me. Help me, God, not to say one word outside of your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, here we go. Hey, this is what we're doing. The first night we talked about your worth and purpose. Actually, the very first night, I gave you my testimony to let you know where I come from, so you know a bit about me, so that you will understand my passion, my desire for your growth. The second night we talked about your worth and your purpose in God. Then we talked about what stops you from connecting with God. We acknowledge that there are blessing blockers, things that's distracting us from connecting with God. We've been programmed to be like the world. Then we talked about the importance of self-destruction, dying of self, living in the Spirit of God. We talked about being courageous like David, chasing down a lion and a bear, you know what I'm saying, being faithful with a few things. We talked about the discipline of worship last night. We talked about the power of the Holy Spirit. Like, we have had a whole bunch of different topics, right? But when I think about the theme of the overall camp meeting, the theme is knowing him and making him known, correct? Come on, y'all, help me out. Come on. The theme is knowing him and making him known, correct? That's the overall theme. Our theme is what Matthew 25 says, whatever you do for the least of these, you also do unto me, talking about service, talking about love. That's the one thing we haven't discussed thus far. we haven't just talked about love. How can we know God and how can we make God known without talking about the power of love? Our God is a God of love. He is love. Like, when I think of, like, God is love. The Bible says this so clearly. That's like the number one memorized verse in the world. You got people who don't even believe in God, but they can recite, God is love. Like, and we know this, but how do we truly know God? And how do we truly make him known when we're lacking love in our lives? I laid in my bed in my hotel room, and I'm like, Lord, Saturday night is coming along. What final message? I do this for a living, so I've got sermons galore. I said, God, what direction do you want me to take? And he's like, you've seen things on that campground. Please, don't get me wrong. I've been in this campground. You all have shown me nothing but love, right? You've been kind. Your parents have been speaking, high-fiving, hugging, buying books, signing books. Like, it's, you know, I've experienced love on this campground. But when we step outside of our comfort zone, what level of love do we attain at that time? Follow me here. Like, I mean, I get it. You love people. You know, I love y'all. Y'all love me. We've been having a great time. But I haven't really challenged or I haven't really imposed on your traditions. I haven't really done anything that goes against the grain. I guess for me personally, I view the church as a hospital. For me personally, I would love for the church, like especially our remnant church, how amazing would it be when people could come into our church, help me, Holy Spirit, when people could come into our church off the streets, messed up, broken, battered, abused, and receive love before they receive a health message. How amazing would that be? We're lacking love. Something God told me about a year ago, he said that there are a lot of Adventists who are 100% Seventh-day Adventists, but they are two-thirds Christian. We believe in God the Father. We believe in God the Son. But we're lacking the Holy Spirit working in our lives. We're lacking the power, the compassion of love. Hear me, young people, because we're a new generation here, right? So I can't necessarily present this message to the adults, but I can present it to you. God is building up an army. How cool would it be to have strong, young, courageous, young Christian Adventist young people that believe in the doctrine of our church, but also practice love? Can I get 1 Corinthians 13:13 up? I think it's 1 Corinthians 8:13. Let's just go to the scripture. Let's just see real briefly what the Bible talks about love. And I'm gonna just share with you some things from my heart. And we're gonna try to figure out how can we make some changes here. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up my childish ways. For now, we see in the mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now, faith, hope, love, abide, these three things. But the greatest of these is love. We've got faith. We've got hope. That's great. But let me tell you something. We're talking about the principle of love. All right, so I was laying in my hotel, and I was just thinking, and I was like, God, this love. I said, like, Lord, what does love look like? You know what he told me love looked like? He said love is being uncomfortable. This is so rich, right? All right, so follow me here. Love is being willing to be uncomfortable to reach other people. All right, so I don't know how many of you are here. Well, let me just do a show of hands. How many of you were here when I was at the pavilion Wednesday morning when I presented in front of everybody? If you were there, can you just raise your hands? Okay, good. Like a third of you. All right, so let me share something with you. So a friend of mine told me about this book, and I've been hearing about it for years, and I finally went on and bought it on Amazon. It's called A Trip into the Supernatural by Roger Marina, right? Have you all heard of that book? Oh, you've got to read it. All right, so it's about this guy that grew up in Canada years ago, and he got into, like, Satanism and spirit worship, right? Like, he was straight, like, fellowshipping with demons. Crazy story. And he found out in one of the meetings, they were talking, and one of their high priests was telling him about the remnant church. And he said, you know what? We're deceiving the whole world with Sunday worship. We got them under our grasp. But then somebody said, but what are we going to do about the Seventh-day Adventists? Because they worship on the true day of Saturday. This is in this book. You got to get this book. It really opened my eyes. They said, well, yeah, the Seventh-day Adventists, they're the remnant church. They're not apt to our power. So we can't fool them. But he said, don't worry about it because they're small in number. So watch this here. So as this guy is expressing his journey, when he decides that he wants to get out of spirit worship and he wants to, like, get to know God, he knew that the only people that he could connect with that could protect him from the demons were Adventists. And so look what God did. There was also a young family in Canada around the same time. They were newly converted Christians. They'd been in the church for about 2 years. They were newly converted Adventists. They were asking God. They said, God, send us someone that we can do Bible studies with. So this guy is working in a manufacturer company. a new guy comes in, he's Adventist, then you got Roger Marina, who's the devil worshiper, and they end up building a friendship. He finds out that he can't work on Friday nights and Saturdays. They hook up and start doing Bible studies. Here's the moral of my story here. And this really, I was convicted. Like, I read this book like a month ago. I was convicted, and it blessed my heart. So Roger at the time was smoking like 2-3 packs of cigarettes a day. Follow me. We're talking about love. He was smoking 2-3 packs of cigarettes per day. It's wrong. It's nasty. They will destroy your life. Let me make it clear. But he wasn't convicted on that. He didn't know that yet. He sat there in that family's home in Canada, and they did Bible studies for 2 weeks straight every single day, and he smoked like a chimney inside their home. The last Bible study, because he didn't want to leave, so they would start at 7 o'clock and would go to like 9 or 10 o'clock at night because he was scared. He wanted to get as much of this message to truly be convicted so that he would know, okay, I need to change my life. So they allowed him to smoke. The very last message was on the health message. And that's when he found out the unclean meats, and he found out about the alcohol and the smoking. And he said, this is wrong. Why wouldn't you all tell me? Look at what the wife said, because we're talking about love here. This book is amazing. The wife said that we prayed about it. And me and my husband decided that if you smoking in our home like you were for 2 weeks, if that took away 2 years off of our life, it was worth it if you come to Christ. This is stuff that's happening right here on planet Earth. When I read that, it brought me to tears. I know my home. God's blessed me and my wife with a beautiful home, granite countertops, hardwood floor. He just showed out in our lives. Stuff we didn't even ask for. I'm talking about Psalms 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, young people. He will give you the desires of your heart. He's blowing my mind, right? So I'm imagining like, wow, do I have enough love for somebody that if I brought them to my home and they wanted to smoke, would I allow them to? Or would I give them a lecture on cigarettes? And you know, the interesting thing is Roger said, that was the breaking point for Roger. And he said, okay, this is real Christianity here. And at that time, he knew that what he was dealing with these people was real. And because he said that if they had a requirement, said, okay, I don't mind doing Bible studies, but you can't smoke in my house. He said, I would not have did those Bible studies because he was addicted to cigarettes. I'm not telling you to start smoking and let people come to your house and smoke. We're just talking about love. We're just talking about love for a little bit, right? So I'm sharing with you, even I was convicted, right? And they knew, they were led by the Holy Spirit. These people didn't smoke. They were inconvenienced. But because of their inconvenience and their love for God and their love for Roger, they really wanted to see him saved. And they said, listen, because secondhand smoke is worse than smoking itself. So they said, look, you smoke for 2 weeks. If that kills 2 years off of our lifespan, then oh well, as long as you can know God. And what happened now? He's restored. He wrote that bestseller book, The Power of Prayer. He wrote the Trip Into the Supernatural. And he's on fire for God. Like he's written several books. But what if they said, nah, you can't smoke here. Or the first time they said, he smells like cigarettes. Let's meet him. So he can't come to our house. So we're just talking about love here. We're talking about willing to be inconvenienced. Hear me here, young people. Because a lot of you are like, I don't understand God. I don't really know God. Why would God allow this to happen? Why would God allow this to happen? Let me tell you something. Our God is not a God, even the Bible says this, that sits on high, but he's not engaged with his people below. He says, you know what? I made a plan of salvation. So even though you all sinned and you made a mistake, I made a way of escape. You want to know what love looks like? Do you know that heaven went without Jesus for 33 years? Oh, you didn't even catch that. I spoke to my wife when I was on the way here, and she was like, okay, honey. She's like, you know, my coach. She's like, okay, what are you preaching about? I was like, love. She was like, give me what you got. I was like, boo, I got a lot. You know, I don't preach from notes. I just take what God gives me, and I give it to him. She was like, well, what's your overall theme? And it popped in my head for the first time ever. I never looked at it like this. Heaven was without Jesus Christ for 33 years. He wasn't here on earth and there in heaven. That's the ultimate inconvenience. That makes someone letting somebody come in their house and do Bible studies and smoke cigarettes for 2 weeks seem small. God, our God, that's so big and so amazing. The Father, the Son. The Father said, I'm going to send my Son. And he's up here. He's big. He's powerful. He's majestic. He's amazing. He's perfect. And he said, I love them so much that I'm going to step off my throne. For years, we don't even focus on that. For 30, I'm going to entitle this sermon. I ain't give a title yet. The title of this sermon is Heaven Without Jesus. For 33 years, he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to step down off my holy throne. I'm going to leave all my majesty, all of the splendor, all of the glory. I can imagine the angels were like, you're going to do what? You're going to go down there to this disease-affected world? You're going to go down there? Some of the angels are probably wondering, okay, he'll probably be, you know, a royalty or at least the highest level. He said, no. I'm going to find Mary a virgin. I'm going to find a humble Joseph. I'm going to be born through a nasty, bloody wound in the manger with donkeys and sheep and camels. I'm going to be born there in the humblest form. There's not even going to be a place where they can lay me. So they're going to put me on hay where a dog or a donkey will be born. I'm going to come in the humblest form, and I'm going to grow up, and I'm going to live so that I can die. That's love. That's my Jesus. That's my King. I know some of you are wondering, I don't really know about Jesus. It kind of seems unfair. Nah, you have a skewed image of my Savior. That is love. To leave all the majesty, all the splendor of heaven. I know you can't see it. I know it just seems like it is so real. For him to leave that and to come here on planet Earth, to live 33 years of service and labor only to die, that's love. I find it so ironic and so amazing at the same time that while he was here, he was a carpenter. He could have been anything. His job before he tapped into ministry was to make things and to make things better and to restore things. That's why when he tapped into the spiritual realm and he said, now I'm going to start healing, he knows how to restore you. He knows where you're loose. He knows what to tighten up because that's what he did. So we're talking about the God of love. We're talking about the God of love. And at times I get discouraged because I see things. I see people. I see situations. I've heard some crazy things while I've been on this campground. Please don't get me wrong. You guys are beautiful people. I've had a great time with you, but I've spoken to some of you. And some of the things that have been said here on this campground hurt my heart. I've seen some things with my own physical eyes, and I'm like, that's not the Spirit of God. We can be so judgmental. I'm going to say something, and you take it however you want to take it. There is a reason why this West Virginia conference is not growing how it should be. There's a reason why. We've got the remnant message. We are the remnant church, but we are lacking love. I need you all to hear me. We are lacking love. And God says it. Listen, I am love. He's like, everything evolves around love. Ain't nobody going to follow us. Ain't nobody going to want to hear about nothing about music or nothing about food if we don't love them. I know people in here, you've told me the stories how you come to church in a skirt or something may be too tight and they pull you aside and have a whole session talking about you. That's not love. I'm not saying it's right. I believe we should dress modest, but at the same time, that's not love. How dare you turn them away? A friend of mine has a church in Atlanta, Georgia, and he had a group of young people that was coming. They were a young college group, and they were praying, and they were saying, you know, they did music. They had a group, and they were all singing. And so one of the guys showed up to church, right, and he didn't have – well, let me say this. One of the guys showed up to church, and he had on some blue jeans, some tennis shoes, and a white T-shirt. And they show up, and he was one of the lead vocalists. One of the elders caught him. This was like 6-7 months ago. One of the elders caught him in the lobby and said, you can't come in the sanctuary dressed like this. You can't go up on the podium. And sing if you're dressed like this. So, of course, there's a big commotion, and my friend who was the pastor came, and they told him what was going on, and he rebuked and convicted the elder and said, listen, we don't deny anyone, especially young people, from service to God. They allowed him to serve, and he went up there, and he sang. And so he actually was one of the ones that was going to do special music when it came time for the pastor to preach. And so he sang this song. He said, you know, this is a song that I wrote when I was really going through a hard time. This young guy with blue jeans and a t-shirt on played the piano and sang this beautiful song. Well, my friend was impressed by God and was touched, and he stepped up to the pulpit. But before he preached, he said, young man, tell us your name. He told him the name. And they said, I don't know why, but I believe you have a story. Tell us a little bit more about you. You know what the young guy said? I don't have any family. I don't have any friends. I hooked up with these people who love Jesus, and I wasn't trying to offend nobody, but these t-shirts and blue jeans are all I have. They were ready to kick him out. Your word, we're so holier than thou. Even Paul says, don't think you're better than you think you are. Don't think you're so good. Don't look at yourself higher than you really are. You know what our problem is? Is we try to compare ourselves to each other, and that's how we think we can gauge. You compare yourself to God, and when you do that, you'll recognize how broken you are. I'm not trying to fuss. I just really want us to love. I hope it doesn't come off kind of aggressive. You know, I just really want us to really just get the idea of love. I'm really happy. I'm really in a good mood. I'm battling the cold, so my voice is naturally a little bit more raspy, but I recognize the power of love. That's what's going to win people. That's what's going to have people come to your church. That's what's going to revolutionize and change this church and blow this church up to where we could really finish this work. We get so caught up into rules and religion, and I get it. It's necessary, but we miss the relationship. We get caught up into everything else. You know what it sounds like a lot of times? And I'm going to just say it, and we can debate later. Actually not, because I got an early flight and I got a long drive ahead of me. So we won't debate. You can email me. But you know what happens a lot of times? Is we get to a point where we have all of these things set up and put in place, and then we miss the mark. A lot of times when I talk to people, you know how we sound at times? I even have to catch myself. We sound like the times in the Bible, the scribes and the Pharisees with all of these rules. I get it. They're necessary. But at some point, we got to use common sense. Just love on people. My church in Alabama, we're doing some amazing things. And I told the young folk, I said, listen, we're going to go in here and reach people. But as opposed to knocking on the door and praying for them and giving them a track, let's try not to do it with ulterior motives. Let's just go and love on them. How about we just show up and bring groceries, we bring food, we bring clothes, and offer prayer? And what's going to happen, they're going to start asking about our church. They're going to want to start wanting Bible studies. They're going to want to start wanting stuff. We did a block. Let me say something. This is going to blow your mind, and some of you are probably thinking, ah. But my church, we went to one of the rough neighborhoods in the community, right? And we took a bunch of tables and chairs from the church, and we went, and we had some of the, and it was so amazing because our church came together. There was no barrier between the youth and the old people. No, we came together. And so our elders, the seniors, the adults, they cooked, they made dishes. We came together, we prayed, we had our Christian music playing, we played basketball, and everybody in that church gave their services. So we had a woman who owned a massage parlor. She had her official massage chairs out, giving the people in the community, the parents who were stressed, massages. We had a couple of barbers in the church that were giving haircuts. We had a couple of nurses that was doing blood screenings and checking for high blood pressure and giving tips. We did all this stuff. You know what else we did? We had food, French fries, barbecue chicken. And you know what happened? Those people in that neighborhood, we were out there for like an hour. When we fired, and I ain't telling you to eat chicken, just follow me here. It's common sense. We have to meet people where they are. We start barbecuing chicken. Those folk came about their house. They opened that curtain. They heard the music. We had the moon bounce, you know, the bouncy where the kids could bounce around. We had a water slide. Just stop, and we just want to love on people. And you know what else we had? In the middle of everything, we had a table that just said, sign up for Bible studies. We didn't push it. But after they got their massage, and their kids got a haircut, and they played basketball, and they eating that chicken, they came over and said, you know what? I want to know more about y'all's Jesus. Baptism. Boom, 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 boom. The health message, the whole nine. They're like, well, you finished chicken. Well, we know you're not going to eat gluten-free. We know you're not going to eat fried chicken. So we're going to meet you where you are. We're going to give you some chicken. And then when you say, hey, I want to know more about you, this is what we believe. What do? We operate off of love. Follow me here. I don't want some. I know how you're thinking. Some of you are instantly thinking, Jeremy's poisoning their minds. No, I'm not. I'm being practical here. Jesus met these people where they were. One more time, Jesus met these people where they were. One more time, Jesus met them where they were. The scribes, the Pharisees would say, look at him over there with those beggars. Look at him over there with those dirty people. Look at him over there. And Jesus was fellowshipping with them. And he was loving them. God said, I didn't come down here just to save the holy, just to save those who think they're perfect, just to save those who got doctrines and degrees. I came to save all my people. But we're not going to finish his work. We're not going to truly know him and make him known. We're not going to be able to, whatever you do for the least of these, you do also unto me. We're not going to be able to practice that until we get to a point, until we get to a point where we can practice love, because love is at the root of it all. Please bear with me with my throat. Once again, I would love to have a church that operates like a hospital where I have somebody, a drug dealer, collecting an offering. Not foolishly, I'm going to have an elder watching them. I would love to have somebody that struggles with alcohol singing in a choir. I would love to have an ex-prostitute ushering. How amazing would that be? Nowadays, we have certain stipulations where our church is not a hospital. Our church is a country club. If you don't talk like us, if you don't dress like us, if you don't eat like us, then you can't be a part of us. I've been to some churches to preach, and they didn't even know I was the preacher, and because my tie was red with a paisley design, they were snickering and looking at me and slipping me pamphlets. And when I stepped up in that pulpit, they were like, that is not the Spirit of God. My message tonight, y'all, is so simple. We're missing love, L-O-V-E, love. Our God is a God of love. I think we got 1 Colossians 8 through 13 or 8. What was that scripture that we have? No, we did 1 Corinthians, but I also have a Colossians, not 1 Colossians, Colossians 8. But now you must put them away, all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander. Obscene talk from your mouth. Next one, 9. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. 10. Boom. And have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. 11. Boom. Here, there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian. Do you see this here? How do you pronounce that? Scythian? What? Slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. 12. Boom. Put on them as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Above all of these, put on love. Above all of those rules, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Let me tell you something. I believe in our church, no doubt about it. I believe and know that we are the remnant, the chosen people. I believe in Auntie Ellen White. I call her Auntie. I love her writings. I don't put her before the word. She says that she is the lesser light. I don't force that down people's throats. I love them and meet them where they are. When they're ready, I make a transition. And we go from there. We have to, as a church, get to the point where we operate off of love. It's that simple. There is so much work that needs to be done. There are so many people who are hurting. I spoke to someone earlier, a few pastors, and we were talking about why, how come, you know, I don't know if you heard it, but the word I got is that the conference is not growing. It's actually like shrinking. And they said, well, the reason why our conference, you know, we're smaller, we're here, and the people here are really strong, being, you know, in Baptist. So let me tell you something. No, I live in the Bible Belt. I'm in Alabama, Tennessee, Mississippi, Georgia. They're just as strong in their other beliefs and faith. But we've got to get to a point where we start loving on people. That's above all things. We have to love. We are lacking love. How many times do I have to say it? We have to start loving people. And when we get to a point when we know God, when we truly connect with God, when we recognize what he did for us, I think at that time we'll begin to be transformed. It's that simple. Let's not forget, he allowed himself to be inconvenienced for 33 years. I want that thing to stay in your soul. I never looked at Christ's sacrifice that way. I just always said he came from heaven to earth to show us the way from the earth to the cross. My debt he paid, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. I would sing those songs. I always said Jesus lives. He came and died for our sins. But it never dawned on me that our Savior left. And there was no Jesus in heaven for 33 years. That blows my mind. You talk about the inconvenienced. The angels for 33 years are walking around heaven, seeing how we're living, seeing what we're doing, saying, man, I can't believe Jesus is going out. I wonder what the mood and what the climate was like there in heaven without Jesus, the Son of God, there. That's how much he loves you. Boom, 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 boom. Every single one of us. He loves us all. And he's just saying, look, if you love me, do for me what you would do with other people. Because if you do for them, you've also done for me. It's that simple. I promise I'm about to close and pray. My throat can't take too much more. I leave tomorrow for Alabama. I'll be home with my wife and child for a few days. And then I'm off to the next state. I leave you with this here. Love. 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 Love yourself. Love God. Connect with God. Don't be so judgmental. Like Elder Jackson said, don't take yourself so serious. There has to be a love element mixed in. There has to be a level of compassion. Just ask yourself, when you see someone dressed a certain way or looking a certain way, like, does your heart say, oh no, she's hurting? Or do you say, look at how she's dressed? We need more love. Father in heaven, it's God, we need your Holy Spirit. Because without your Holy Spirit, God, we cannot love you, nor can we love other people. Father, you have a beautiful campground here filled with beautiful people from all walks of life, Lord. These are your remnant children, Lord. I have experienced nothing but love while I've been here. But I've heard of situations. I've heard of stories, God. And I'm familiar with how things are in other conferences and other churches, Lord. It's easy to love someone when they're with the program, God. But it's harder to love them when they go against the grain. It's harder to love them when they're not like us, Lord. Show us how to love each other. Show us how to truly love you. And show us how to love others, Lord. Give us your spirit of patience. Give us the spirit of peace, God. Please, Lord, we need you, God. We need the fruits of the Spirit, Lord. Put that within our soul every single day, God. Your young people, Lord, if they can just move past themselves and how fun and how cool they think the world is, and to say, you know what? No, God died for me. God wants to restore me. God wants to use me. Can you have God? Your young people say, not their will, but your will be done. Move upon their hearts, Lord. There's so much potential power in this room when we're filled with your Holy Spirit. But Father, it is evident that we are lacking love. Lord, it's not just this conference. Every single conference, Lord, they're growing people, but they're also losing people, Lord. And the only reason, God, that your young people come to church most of the times is because their parents bring them. But when they hit 18, 19, 20, up to the 30s, God, they're gone. They're gone, Lord. Bring back the love within your church, Lord. And I believe it can start right here and right now. The movement, the change of love, Lord, within this conference, the unconditional love, the inconvenience love, Lord, can start right here and right now with the people inside this room, Lord. Give us compassion within our hearts, Lord. Before we go to judging, before we go to looking down on people, before we go to quote-unquote educating them, Lord, show us how to love them and how to understand them, God, and how to meet them where they are. Show us, Lord, how to love ourselves. And ultimately, God, show us how to love you. Father, I bless your name this evening for those who got baptized. Thank you so much, God. That's so amazing, God. I'm thanking you on behalf of them, Lord. There are others who need to get Bible study, Lord, so they can know exactly what they're getting into, so they can learn more about the church. God, I thank you for them as well. Continue to convict us, Father, every single day, so that this Christian walk, so that our belief system can be real. The rules, the religion is great and definitely necessary, Lord, but we want to also have a relationship with you and other people. Show us how to love, for you are a God of love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.